What would happen if you suddenly lost your electricity or your natural gas, even your cable TV, because a neighbor didn't contact Julie before starting a digging project? From trees and mailbox posts to fences and decks, remember to contact Julie before you dig. Know what's below. Contact Julie 2 business days before you start. Simply call 811 or go online at IllinoisOneCall.com. It's a free service. It's smart and it's the law.
If getting home to watch the news is a real rush, we have news for you. ABC 7 Eyewitness News at 7 on WCIU, The U. Now there's a newscast that fits your busy life, from Chicago's number one news, breaking stories, up to the minute headlines, sports, and your first alert forecast are prime time, the right time to kick back and catch up. Join Linda Yu, Jose Sanders, Jim Rose, and meteorologist Cheryl Scott. ABC 7 Eyewitness News at 7 on WCIU, The U.
Watch Doug Heffernan on The King of Queens.
I demand.
A little bit of raw, sexual energy.
But he's got it all.
I demand.
Party!
Because sexy is sexy.
Party!
Cute and funny.
Oh, I'm the whole package.
Doug Heffernan's the whole package.
Manly, yes, but I like it too.
And then some.
Kind of like.
Catch it all with a full hour of The King of Queens. Weeknights at 11 at The Comedy Stop on WCIU The U.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. This is the official radio home for White Sox baseball. Listen to every White Sox game here on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago Sports Station, WSCR, and HD Chicago. WJMK HD2 Chicago. Scoreboard update.
From the Chicago Wolves Update Studio, the Wolves are tied up 1-1 in the first round of the playoffs. Visit ChicagoWolves.com for information.
Yeah, they're a good team. You can't make the playoffs and not be a good team. So, we know we got to play well to beat them. It's going to be hard fought.
That's Bulls head coach Tom Thibodeau. The Bulls look to close out their opening round series tonight with Milwaukee. Tip-off at the UC is at 7. Cleveland waits for the winner of the Bulls-Bucks series. No official word yet on how much time Kevin Love will miss with that dislocated shoulder. On to baseball. The Cubs host the Pirates. Jason Hamill opposes Vance Worley. The White Sox are in Baltimore. Hector Nwese faces Ubaldo Jimenez. Pregame on The Score starts at 5:35. We're going to visit with Chris Ranji right after this update to get a live update. Scene setter there from Baltimore, as they call it in the business. The Blackhawks take on the Minnesota Wild in the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Hawks will have home ice advantage. Game dates have yet to be announced. NFL draft begins this Thursday. The Bears have the 7th overall pick.
And this is going to be it.
And this from the Miami Marlins Twitter account. This is just priceless. Jared Saltalamacchia was reinstated from the paternity list and then designated for assignment. Congratulations. You have a kid and no job. This scoreboard update is being brought to you by Prairie Organic Vodka, sponsor of the Score Toast and Roast of Patrick Manley. Are you ready for that unforgettable night? Well, visit 670thescore.com/roast now to purchase your tickets for the 2015 Celebrity Roast and Toast of Pat Manley. It's brought to you by Arango Cigar Company and also Ashland Addison Florist. I'm Matt Abaticola, and you're listening to the radio home for White Sox baseball, the home of Chris Ranji. The next game on The Score is tonight at 5:30 when the Sox take on the Orioles on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour is brought to you by Crystal Lake Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
Boers and Bernstein at it again.
Boers and Bernstein. Afternoons on The Score.
Here comes Derek.
Got the last shot.
Rose flashes to his right. Back to his left. Stolen. Back screen. Layup.
Wow.
The horn. You called it, partner.
Back screen. Told you.
I'm not going to put it on that last play. We botched the last play, but we botched a lot of plays before that. So we're going to have to straighten that out.
Takes the drive. Makes it again.
We'll let you know, but I think you know who's going to start next game.
Fly ball into deep right center field. It is off the wall. Russell goes to third. 3-run double. Cubs win. The Cubs beat the Reds by a score of 5-2.
And this is going to be it. And this ball game is over.
Bronson ball to short. This should do it. Ramirez has it. Goes a long way to first. Sox win. Sox win. They beat the Royals 2 games today. Robertson a win in the first game and a save in the second.
Idiot and Bernstein
over there on The Score.
Terry Boers.
What?
You're Dan Bernstein.
Bernstein taking the fun out of things once again.
I've got a way.
Network.
Boers and Bernstein, weekdays 1 to 6 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
At 303, Boers and Bernstein, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Following along with what's going on the streets of Baltimore right now, that happens to be where the White Sox are.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some frightening news early in the day that we just let you know from the Baltimore Police Department saying that the three primary street gangs are joining forces and there's a credible threat that they will be targeting police. The hell?
I know.
I mean, that's... I think you probably don't want a game. And here's the latest here. This is the COO of the Orioles, John P. Angelos. Mm-hmm. He's the son of the team's owner. You know the name Peter Angelos, of course. Says, is this from Think Progress? He says, as some Baltimore Orioles fans complained about protests around the death of Freddie Gray, a black man who suffered a fatal spine injury while in police custody, the team's COO countered with a series of tweets expressing larger concerns about the plight of poor Americans. John P. Angelos published a tweet Saturday night in response to a local radio broadcaster who complained that the protests, which had shut down Camden Yards while the Orioles were still playing, were inconveniencing fans and other Baltimore residents. While Angelos expressed a preference for peaceful protest, he tweeted that his greater concern was the loss of jobs, economic devastation, and an ever more militarized law enforcement that's primarily targeted and affected an unfairly impoverished population, particularly in urban areas like Baltimore. He said the innocent working families of all backgrounds, whose lives and dreams have been cut short by excessive violence, surveillance, and other abuses of the Bill of Rights by government, pay the true price, an ultimate price, one that exceeds the importances of any kids' game played tonight or ever at Camden Yards. We need to keep in mind people are suffering and dying around the U.S., and while we're thankful no one was injured at Camden Yards, there's a far bigger picture for poor Americans in Baltimore and everywhere. This makes inconvenience at a ballgame irrelevant in light of the needless suffering governments inflicting upon ordinary Americans. Now, if the COO of the Orioles is already saying this, yeah, and now you've got a rekindling of violence in that city, there might be a decent chance that that game's canceled. Joining us now on the Grossinger Lincolnwood Hotline, find over 4,000 vehicles at grossingerdeals.com, is a guy scheduled for a lot of work tonight, pregame, postgame, and a rare chance at play-by-play in lieu of Ed Farmer, who is off tonight. Chris Ranji is with us. So what's the scene like there, Chris? What's happening in Baltimore?
Around the ballpark, it's actually really quiet. If you're walking around in the immediate area, there's really nothing happening. I mean, people are, I guess there's a law enforcement presence, a small one that's starting to build just beyond center field. There's that, I don't even know what they call it, but where the warehouse is, there's that area there. And there's not really much happening here, but in the clubhouse, all the players, all the coaches, Ventura, everybody is glued to the TV because there's some stuff happening. It's probably about, from what I understand, it's about 2 miles away. It's somewhere between a mile and a half and 3 miles
close
away from here.
Okay. I didn't know it was that close.
That's what everybody in there is saying. It's there's an area of town that's not too far from here. So I guess there is some concern. We haven't heard anything official about that they will call the game or that they're thinking about it. But that's kind of the rumbling right now, is that if it gets close or it looks like there might be another situation like there was the other night here, that they could call it.
Do you know exactly what happened the other night there? I mean, I recall reading a little bit of it, but do you know by reading or a little just noticing, I mean, they were right around the park, right? There was demonstrations right around the park, a lot of things happening, and nothing happened inside the park, right?
Right. As far as I know, nothing happened inside Oriole Park, but they put a notice up on the scoreboard, and they told the people here that the mayor and the police department here wanted everybody to stay inside.
Okay.
And I think they locked the gates. I think they locked everybody in here.
Mm-hmm.
So they locked everybody in, and they locked the people outside out of the park. And then I don't know exactly what time it was, but they finally opened up and let everybody go. They were just trying to prevent, I guess, all of these people from being exposed to what was going on out there. And it was scary. I think that it sounds like from a lot of people that were here that they didn't really see anything for themselves. But there was a little bit of tension because they, you know, they had no idea what was going on. I mean, they put that notice up on the scoreboard, and they start to think, well, what in the world's happening out there, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't know if any anybody here was actually affected by it, but I'm sure they were at least nervous.
Watching right now live on CNN that there've been some tear gas grenades that have been lobbed into the crowd. I'm sure you're watching the same thing I am, and that protesters just went and tried to kick the grenades out. And it's not, it certainly appears to be a tense and fluid situation, just to watching the people milling around and the advancing riot troops with the Kevlar shields. I mean, it's, I don't know that if that's just 2 miles away and you already have credible threats against law enforcement, you know that there's going to be law enforcement around a ballpark that is just going to kind of be standing there, just guarding gates. And you have any number of people that can just walk right up and drive right up. I'm not sure how you balance the security concerns for your own officers with the fact that they would have to do a job protecting thousands of citizens. How can they do their job?
Well, I don't know. It's probably a little bit too much. I mean, it's like you said, it's enough as it is to have to deal with rioters, but then to have to keep 30,000 people safe too, I'm not sure it's a job they want to take on. So I have no, to be honest with you, Dan, this is the first time I've been in Baltimore for about 15, 20 years. And I've heard a lot of sirens today. I don't know if that's a normal thing in this area, and I don't know if we're looking at ambulances, police, or fire, or whatever's going on here, but there's been a lot of commotion, although I walked out of the hotel, I walked down the streets, a few blocks away, and people were just kind of going about their business normally, so it's not like in the immediate area right now, any